This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Go with God, young men. Go with God today. Just make your way through this in a very healthy fashion. That's all we're looking for. That's all anybody's looking for. That is how you win. And the two-on-two challenge later today, Bart Scott and Alan Hahn have departed their studio to go and mentally prepare for this challenge against Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. It's Canty and Carlin in for the fellas for this last hour. We are presented by Progressive Insurance at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got plenty to get to this hour, including one major star in Major League Baseball who is going absolutely nowhere, and we found that out just in the last few minutes. But, Chris, we have to start with what's going to happen this afternoon. The two guys were headed over to the hotel. They were there to meet with their mental preparation coach, if you will. I am not joking when I tell you this. I was told not 15 minutes ago that at some point today, Alan Hahn actually asked for someone to help him stretch.
Yeah.
To push forward on his knee, to really get the most out of it he could. He wanted every single athletic advantage he could get here, of which there are none.
So he wanted the calisthenics. He wanted the chiropractor out there. He wanted to go through the full nine as far as a pregame routine.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been doing too much Knicks pre- and postgame coverage. Because nobody's going to be out there stretching him out like he's Julius Randle or Mitchell Robinson. That ain't going to happen.
I think that's what he said he brought. And I'm not joking. Again, not joking when I say this. Says he brought a resistance band with him.
Yeah, that's great. You know, there are so many places.
Did he bring talent with him?
Yeah, here's the thing. He needs to put up some resistance against Keyshawn and Jay Will. That's the whole point of this whole two-on-two challenge. And I'm not sure that Bart and Allen are going to be capable of being able to do this. Now, you want those guys to go out there and put their best foot forward and make it a competitive game. I'm here for all of the shenanigans.
No. I just want everybody to live. That's my goal at the end of the day.
Well, yeah,
I would be entertained.
No, I think everybody's going to live. Yes. I don't think there's a guarantee that everybody's going to come out of this thing healthy.
Yes.
Those are two different things.
Yeah, that's very true. And yeah. I do wish health for them, but I am here for the entertainment. You and I will be calling the play-by-play
for this.
Which
is going to be hilarious.
And I cannot wait to get a good look at what Bart's going to do in terms of his game. I want to see what Keyshawn looks like. Honestly, is he going to be, you know, Keyshawn, if we're going to be honest, and I know that it's a little ironic that I'm saying this, at one point had put on a few pounds. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he's not in his play. He's not in playing shape. I'll put it to you that way.
Yes.
He's not at his ideal fighting weight.
Is he on the KJ-19 plan as opposed to the TB-12? Where the 19 means 19 meals a day.
Okay, that's what it is?
It could be something like that.
I don't know. It could be something like that. But I just want to know who's going to go full Jackie Moon from semi-pro. Who's going to act like they're out there for the Flint Tropics? I'm just waiting to see it. I'd put my money on it being Bart Scott,
yes,
being that guy and making a mockery of this whole thing. But as a matter of fact, I'd be disappointed if he didn't do that.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Knowing Bart as we do, we've come to expect certain things, and he rarely disappoints in that.
Yeah.
But you made an interesting point with Alan when we saw him out in the hallway here. You know, everybody thinks Alan's this nice guy, just kind of chill and all that. But there is a gleam in his eye where you could see there might be a moment where an elbow lands in the wrong spot, where something happens, where Alan, I'm not going to say he's going to snap, but he could very sneaky give you one in the ribs. He can make you feel like he could try to take.
Are we going Draymond Green in the 2016 NBA Finals with a kick to a sensitive area?
I don't think he would do that, but I do think he would want everybody to think that he's the nice guy and then just catch him off guard.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about this, right, where we're breaking down the two-on-two in the matchups, Jay Will is the one that has the most to lose.
Oh, there's no question. And
because Jay Will was the number two overall pick. He was college player of the year. He won a national championship at Duke. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of his accolades and his basketball acumen, his ability on the court. So if Jay Will doesn't show up and look like the second coming of Michael Jordan against these other three guys,
yeah,
then it's going to be an embarrassment for him. But if we're looking at the flip side of that, Alan Hahn has everything to gain because, yes, he's the only one that wasn't a professional athlete out of the group.
If Allen Hahn hits one shot, he's won today.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Allen Hahn played for a college that's no longer a college.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all upside for Allen Hahn with this thing.
Yeah. Allen played for CW Post, which no longer exists.
Yes.
And he played 11 games for them before an alleged torn ACL took out the rest of
his career. Which they wanted him to play through, by the way.
Yeah. I think when he tore it, our medical best practice at the time was to cut off his leg. Okay. That's where we were with torn ACLs. But at any rate, this is going to be fun. I am here for all the smoke. I do want there
There's
to be.
There's not going to be any smoke.
No. I do want there
what
to be.
What smoke is there going to be?
Is there a possibility that there could be an uncomfortable moment with somebody getting annoyed?
Yes.
And that's what I want.
And that happens between Keyshawn Johnson and Bart Scott.
That's what I want.
There's no question in my mind, the two football players, there's going to be some football that comes out.
Wow.
No question. Because Keyshawn feel like he still got it. Now, Keyshawn, in a quiet moment this morning, before I did get up, was saying he hoped it rained this afternoon so he wouldn't have to go out there and do this challenge. Because I'm going to tell you how this thing spiraled out of control, Carlin. It was the two shows going back and forth, guys talking junk, talking crap, and you know what would happen? A challenge was laid down. And Keyshawn Johnson, not one to back away from a challenge, accepted the challenge, but then he realized he's actually going to have to get out there on the basketball court and prove something.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants to be in that position.
I don't think he does either.
Exactly.
And I do have to think, of the four of them, at least two of them, this morning when they woke up, felt some degree of dread for having agreed to do this. At least two.
I think three of them did.
Yeah.
There's one that didn't, and that's Allen Hahn.
Yep.
He's been looking forward to this day for a few weeks now. Yeah, I mean, he's texting us videos of him dunking, pictures of him dunking, reading off his college stats to us, talking about how he was at the top of the leaderboard in block shots at one point in time when he was a college basketball player.
He played 11 games!
He's giving us his whole resume about what kind of basketball player he was. Allen Hahn has been looking forward to this day. You know how the NFL schedule is released and there are players that circle certain games with a red pen? Like, Allen Hahn has been circling June 1st for a long time now, waiting for this day to come because he knows he can go out there and prove that he belongs out there with guys that are former professional athletes and he can hoop with some of the most washed up athletes that are out there.
I don't know exactly what
that proves, but he's going to go out there and prove it. Try to prove it anyway.
I think your line yesterday was the most brilliant of all, that it is fitting that this game is happening on a pier since that's where things wash up.
No doubt. No doubt. This is going to be fun. I can't wait for it. And I'm glad I'm going to have a front row seat. We've got our Blazers going on.
Yep.
We're going to be out there with our khaki pants. And
I'm
our
just
white
glad they don't look like
Blazers.
They don't look like the old Century 21.
No,
Blazers.
They're official, man. Those look like the old school sports broadcaster Blazers, man.
Yeah.
Like we're Jack Buck out here doing games. I love it. I'm here for it.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's happening this afternoon at Pier 17 here in New York City. Allen Hahn and Bart Scott against Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. It should be very, very entertaining, to say the least. By the way, just to give you a quick update, we are told the game will be to 11, in case you didn't know. They will play by ones, except that behind the three-point line, if you hit from there, it's actually worth 2 points. And then if you get fouled, when you go to the line, you only get one shot, and it's worth one.
Yeah, so if you're an analytics guy, you would take a lot of threes in this one just because when you look at a normal basketball game where a field goal is worth two and a three-pointer is worth three, just the increments that we're talking about, the three-point shot being worth what? A third more? Something like that? I mean, when we start talking about the two-on-two matchup, it's worth a full point more. It just makes sense to take more threes than it does twos. I'm just saying.
It does make a lot of sense, and I'm hoping.
I know I sound a little bit like Mike D'Antoni, but I'm just saying if you take the threes, first of all, you can get the game over with quicker, but the three-point shot is actually worth more in this game than in a normal game.
And I am hoping that it will be everybody except Jay Will who will be taking the threes because they will look bad for sure. It is Canty and Carlin in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is here for you, and they're always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support experience, staff, and curbside pickup for over 250 local branches, and you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility facilities safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NBA Finals beginning tomorrow night. It is the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. This guy does a tremendous job of breaking it down every time we have him on. From the Knuckleheads podcast, it is Quentin Richardson who joins Chris Carlin and Chris Canty in for Bart and Hahn today on ESPN Radio. Q, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
We appreciate the time, but we're a little more concerned for Bart and Allen today, who are taking on Jay Williams and Keyshawn in a 2-on-2 game later today. And just as a former NBA tremendous player yourself, you'd have to be concerned for Jay more than anybody, right? If you're going out there and willing to put your athletic reputation on the line, that's a little dangerous, no?
I mean, it's more dangerous than he going out there against some former football players. I think that's what you need to be worried about.
So, Q, I got to ask you, man, who you got your money on, man? Barton Allen or Jay Will and Keyshawn? It's got to be Jay Will and Key, right?
100%. 100%. Because of Jay Will, they actually have a former hooper on there. So, I mean, I understand that Allen Hahn has a collegiate level of basketball under his belt. But, you know, I feel like Jay got all that. He should have all that taken care of.
All right, Q, let's get into it. First thought that came to mind when it was basically official that it was going to be the Warriors and the Celtics. First thing you thought of was?
Oh, man, I mean, this is first that I felt like, you know, once Golden State got solidified, I said, here we go again. They got a chance to, you know, to get themselves right back to the mountaintop. And when Boston punched their ticket, all I could think about is, you know, the opportunity, you know, that Ime has in his first year as a head coach, and the opportunity that's in front of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at such a young age right now.
Q, a lot of people have been speculating about who the most important player in this series. Marcus Smart, his name has been thrown out there because he's the guy that's anticipating being on primary coverage with Steph Curry. Andrew Wiggins' name was thrown out there because he's the guy that's anticipated being on coverage for Jason Tatum. Who, in your opinion, is the most important player in this series beyond the two big superstars, Steph Curry and Jason Tatum?
Beyond those two, I'm going to go with the immediate, Robin to Batman or whatever. I'm going to say Jaylen Brown, obviously for Boston, and I'm going to go with Klay for Golden State, because I feel like if Jaylen Brown, you've seen those games that he and Tatum showed up and got 30-plus or 25-plus, and they both had really good games and rebounds and assists and playing both sides of the floor. They likelihood and they probability of winning when both of them go off is way higher than anything else, in my opinion. When you got both of those guys, it's hard to pick a poison. It's hard to double, you know, undo all those things. Both of them are going to garner so much attention. So, same thing for me saying Klay. I mean, I think he Klay speaks for himself. The man in his 60 without dribbling, and I don't know how many times. And you know, if he goes crazy, that just makes everything else that much more dangerous. Especially with this team and the way this team was built and made, and the way that they haven't really had to rely heavily on him with the emergence of Poole, and, you know, Wiggins playing well, and all those other people. So I think if Klay Thompson is at top level, it's a big problem.
Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune, joining Chris Carlin, Chris Canty, in for Barton Hahn today, ESPN Radio, and on your smart speaker at Play ESPN Radio Network. Okay, Q, when you look at this Warriors team, I'm not asking if it's the best because Kevin Durant was on two of the other ones, but is this the deepest Warriors team that has had a chance at winning another title?
I don't know, possibly, but I mean, I still think back to, you know, the Livingston with all of those guys that they had with those teams. But I mean, possibly if you look and you literally go man for man, 1 through 12 throughout the roster, possibly. So this might be, the deepest team. I mean, they still got some injuries. If they had Wiseman, I think it would be without doubt.
Q, we're talking about a matchup between the team that has led the league in scoring in the Golden State Warriors versus the team that has the number one defensive rating in the Boston Celtics. What do you anticipate the complexion of this series looking like? A lot of people are saying this is going to be a 5 or 6 game series going Golden State's way. What do you think this series ends up ultimately looking like?
Man, I think it's going to be a long series, a hard, a back and forth series. I think that's what the playoffs have shown us thus far. Is this season is that, you can't really concede anything and assume that this or that is going to happen. I mean, it's been so many different ups and downs, injuries, and then guys stepping up and just different things. I look at it and I hope it to be a 6-7 game series and both teams going at it and they got great coaches that make adjustments. And I think that'll be a big part of this whole series, the adjustments the coaches make, because they've been great in their job and great in their roles. And whenever they get into a contested matchup, they've been able to make adjustments to help their team prevail. So I'm looking forward to a long series.
Quentin Richardson with us, Canty and Carlin in for Barton Hahn. When you look at the Celtics, I mean, as a heavy underdog in this series, if you're Boston on both ends of the floor, how are you attacking Golden State defensively? How are you attacking them? Offensively, how are you attacking them?
In both situations, I'm aggressive. If I'm Boston, I don't look at it as like a one-sided matchup. I don't. I think Boston has a great opportunity here. I don't think it's obviously, when you look at the grand scheme of it, I'm going to go with Golden State because they have that championship pedigree. They've been here before, and, like, literally they have 0 games played in the finals on Boston's roster. So I understand that. But at the same time, I'm not taking anything away from these young guys. And they got a lot of guys that play both sides of the floor. And then they got star power at the top. And we know how that can go. Like, if a guy can go for 30, 40, 50 and elevate his team, and you got guys that are playing their roles that are at a high level around them, anything can happen. So I'm not going to disrespect Boston and say that it's one-sided, because I don't feel that way.
Q, I know we're talking about a rookie head coach in Ime Udoka going up against Steve Kerr, who's got 3 championships on his resume as a head coach. And looking at the two coaches that are on the sidelines, how much of a disparity is the coaching advantage that Golden State is coming into this series with?
I mean, I think the biggest advantage is, like you said, Steve Kerr has done it for a lot longer. He's got 3 championships. He's been where Ime wants to get. But, I mean, they come from the same tree. They both played for Pop, and they both went from playing for Pop to being an assistant and learning the coaching game up under him. So, I mean, they both probably his descendants. They both got great pedigree. And, I mean, Ime doesn't have the experience and things that Steve brings to the table, but he worked hard and long under Pop as an assistant, and he won championships as an assistant too, so I think that counts for something as well. He hasn't been there, at the helm being at the top, but he does know he has some resemblance of what it's like to be in those moments from a coaching standpoint, so I think that matters too.
Last one for me, Q. If there's a player in this series that you feel like is going to be an X factor outside of the obvious candidates, who would it be?
Al Horford. I think Al Horford has been unbelievable this whole run for the Celtics. How steady he's been, how productive he's been. Me being honest, I would have never thought he would have had this type of production. I did understand what value he brought to the team, but to put up some of the numbers and some of the statistics and what he means to the team, he's been unbelievable throughout this whole stretch for them.
Q, how big is the front line size for the Boston Celtics going to be in this series?
I think we will see, but I think it can, you know, it can really impact the series. I mean, you saw what Robert Williams was able to do at the rim as far as defensively and as far as being offensively, being a lob threat and being able to get, you know, offensive rebounds and things like that. And with, you know, Golden State not, you know, not having Wiseman and all of the extra size that they would always need, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Draymond and those guys, Kevon Looney has been amazing as well. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they navigate that with, you know, with Boston having a little more size and athleticism at the big spot.
Q, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the finals.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, fellas. Anytime.
Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on the Players Tribune, joining us. As I think more and more about this matchup leading up until it tips off tomorrow night, I'm still having trouble envisioning the Celtics winning this series or really pushing this series to the brink. I much like Miami did to them, I want to see it happen because I'm rooting for a 7-game series. I just look at Golden State right now, and I feel like they're on a whole nother level than what the Celtics have faced so far.
And that's what makes me nervous about leaning toward Golden State, Carlin, because all signs point to them being able to run away with this thing. They've got the rest advantage. They've got the experience advantage. I think they're the far deeper team. And yet when you talk to professional athletes, guys that have played in the NBA at a really high level, Quentin Richardson, Kendrick Perkins, so on and so forth, all of those guys say that they anticipate Boston making this a long series. And the thing that shocked me about what Q just said, he doesn't think that there's a huge advantage for the Golden State Warriors from a coaching standpoint going into this series. Hmm. Even though Steve Kerr does have the championships on his resume, I mean, he had a lot of complimentary things to say about Ime Udoka and talked about the similarities and how those two guys came up as players under Pop and then eventually as assistants under Pop. So I think this is going to be something that's really interesting to watch, the chess match, the X's and O's between Ime Udoka and Steve Kerr.
We've talked about this before, how the balance of power in the league has shifted over the last couple of years back to the Eastern Conference after it was out west for the longest time. It will be interesting to see a team like Boston go through what they went through in Kevin Durant and Kyrie, and then Giannis, and then what they just went through with the Heat, who were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and then have them lose a series like this if it were to happen in five or six. Yeah, the overall depth of the conference might be better, but there's still one best team, and it's still out west.
That sounds good, but here's the thing that we also got to
account for. Oh, you're buying into it now.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying something to think about, big fella. The road that Boston went through versus the road that Golden State went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Denver Nuggets, that was a knife through hot butter.
Yes, it was.
They got somewhat tested by the Memphis Grizzlies, if we can call it that, because it was a 6-game series, but we never felt like Golden State was in any danger of losing that series.
No.
And then the same thing with the Dallas Mavs series. So, I mean, you're talking about them running through the Western Conference and losing 4 games?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something to be said for being battle-tested at this time of year and going through the gauntlet and facing off against the reigning defending champs, coming out on the winning side, beating the number one seed in the conference, and then having an opportunity to compete for a championship. Confidence comes from demonstrated performance, and this young upstart Boston Celtics team has demonstrated that they can play with anybody. So they're going to be going into the Golden State Warriors place without any fear. They're not going to hesitate when they walk into Chase Center on Thursday, and that makes them a dangerous team.
Canty and Carlin in for Bart and Hahn, who are off getting their pregame massages prior to the 2-on-2 challenge later on today, and we will keep you updated on that. Chris and I are both calling that later today, but if there are any breaking news, little tidbits regarding injuries or, ooh, my arm, it's broken, I can't play. Leading up
breaking
to
breaking news, literally breaking news.
If somebody decides, I'm not feeling that great all of a sudden, something at lunch is bothering my stomach, I can't play, we'll let you know if that happens. But there's a chance. There's a chance that could happen.
I can guarantee that we're not subbing in for anybody.
Absolutely not. No chance. See, the difference is I know my limitations.
There you go.
We'll find out if these other guys do. It is Canty and Carlin, as we said, in for Bart and Hahn in just moments. An unexpected visitor at an NFL training camp. A major development regarding one of the league's star quarterbacks. It's next. Canty and Carlin for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
We are just hours away, counting down minutes to the two-on-two challenge later this afternoon at Pier 17 between Bart and Hahn and Keyshawn and J. Will. It is Canty and Carlin in for Bart and Hahn, the last hour of their show. We will call the play-by-play of it later today. We're very excited for it. We're really just here for utter and complete embarrassment for somebody on the court for our own entertainment. Am I taking it too far when I say that?
No, you're not. Their pain is going to be our entertainment, and let's not get it twisted. There's going to be a lot of pain out there because we're talking about all participants being 40-plus years old and those guys not really being prepared for what they're about to put their bodies through.
Yes, and it's going to be enjoyable to watch that and to know that I'm glad that we weren't asked, and I have no doubt in your athletic abilities, but I am more than comfortable being on the sideline and making fun of it as opposed to actually doing it.
Well, listen, I say this all the time. An effective player is a player that understands his limitations.
Yes.
And that's where you and I both are at. We're pound for pound, the biggest show on ESPN Radio. We know our strengths. We know our weaknesses. When it comes to food, that's a strong point for us. We're both passionate about that. When it comes to us pretending like we're elite-level athletes and going out there in competition, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what we're about.
No,
so we're not even going to try to play ourselves. We're not going to do that.
If this was a tag team wrestling event, then, yeah, I think we'd be out there, and I think we'd take care of business.
But, yeah, I mean, you'd go ahead and be Booker T. No, I'd be Booker T, and you'd be
King Kong Bundy. Yeah, or Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow, yeah.
We'll take your pick of any fat, bald wrestler. There's plenty of them to work with.
There's plenty of them out there.
Absolutely.
It is great.
You know, it's funny. There's been so much talk about not just whether or not Kyler Murray was going to play without a new contract, but also what level of quarterback he is and where he should be played. Well, Adam Schefter tweeted about 40 minutes ago that Kyler Murray, in fact, will be showing up to OTAs for the Arizona Cardinals, which is not something that we expected to happen and is expected to be on the field for OTAs. Mm. Surprised by this development?
A little bit. I didn't anticipate seeing him until mandatory minicamp, which is going to be later on this month. But the fact that he's showing up leads me to believe that the framework for the contract is getting hammered out. This is a gesture of goodwill from Kyler Murray after the organization gave him an olive branch by trading for his former teammate and one of his best friends in Hollywood Brown. They go back to Oklahoma days. And so I think this is a situation where the two sides are trying to mend fences. Remember how this thing started earlier this offseason around Super Bowl week? It seemed really contentious. Kyler's stripping down his social media page from anything that was related to the Cardinals. And then the Cardinals organization letting it be known that there were some maturity issues and they didn't like the way that he rubbed people in the building. So it was ugly to start off the offseason, as often happens with contract negotiations when teams don't want to pay a guy at a certain time. But I think that Steve Kahn recognizes how important Kyler Murray is to this team and recognizes the importance of having his quarterback happy in terms of what they want to accomplish in 2022.
Okay, I'm just curious what the framework is, though, because I'm not at the point yet where I'm convinced that Kyler Murray's 100% my franchise quarterback for the longest
time. How could you not be?
I'm not convinced based on the fact that I still think there are the maturity issues. I want to see that get hammered out a little bit better.
Okay.
But I also don't think that he has played at that level yet where I'm fully comfortable handing over. Well, I mean, I hate to say it because this is now where the bar is set. Deshaun Watson type money. Because now that's what we're going to. He may not quite get that.
It's not Deshaun Watson money because he's still got, 2 years left on his contract?
Right.
When you consider the fifth-year option, and then the third, they can control him for a third year, theoretically, with a franchise tag.
So this is what I'm asking. Is this the longer-term deal, or is this the 6-7 year deal, or
is this the three-to-four-year deal?
No, that's kind of the, I don't want to call it a Band-Aid, a pretty substantial Band-Aid, but one of those deals where it's like, we're going to make you happy, but not quite commit ourselves for the longest term to what you're doing.
No, this is probably a five-year extension. Let me say a five-year extension.
So on top of the next couple of years?
So we get rid of the fifth-year option if we're going to extend it for 5 years. So we've got his fourth season on his rookie deal, which is this upcoming year, and then you'll have the extension kick in. But that way you keep the money average down to around – somewhere in the low 40s, but it's something that's palatable for the organization just because of how long you're going to control the player's rights. You're going to control Kyler Murray through his 20s with this deal getting done. It's just something that makes sense from the organization standpoint, because we know when you pay a player before you have to, you're not going to play that player anywhere close to market value. And so you brought up the Deshaun Watson deal. That Deshaun Watson deal is market value. Kyler Murray is not getting that. Now, could Kyler Murray get somewhere in line with what we saw Dak Prescott a year ago? Potentially. And I think the framework for that deal falls more in line with what we saw with that and not what we see from Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Kyler Murray on that level of quarterback? ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Well, if you thought one big star in Major League Baseball was going to get traded before the deadline, think again. We'll explain next. Canty and Carlin in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
I imagine this is what Bart and Alan are listening to in the hotel room right now.
Just to kind of get it going a little
exactly.
bit. Exactly. This is their pregame hype music.
Exactly.
I don't know how hype this is going to get me before a game. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know if this is going to work.
Do you think Bart is walking around the court right now wearing a pair of Beats with Phil Collins in the air tonight in his headset?
I would love it if he was. I don't think he is, but I would love it if he was.
You know?
Bart's
just like it was 9:30 in the morning at MetLife, walking
doing some push-ups, maybe a couple of curls just to make sure that the guns look right.
Exactly. Yeah. It is Canty and Carlin in for Bart and Hahn. The fellas are getting ready for their big matchup, the two-on-two challenge later on today against Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Will from the morning show. More than anything, too, money being raised for charity, which is outstanding. The V Foundation and Make-A-Wish going to benefit from that, which is just terrific in and of itself. And as we said, our biggest goal, I would put them in, not necessarily in this order, but certainly for myself, number one, entertainment, number two, health for everybody involved. Health for everybody involved in terms of hamstrings. Somebody's going to do something.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping it's not anything serious. I want it to be something that I'm comfortable making fun of.
Yeah, we don't want it to be an Achilles or an ACL.
No.
But if it is a hamstring or an ankle, I don't have a problem with that.
Listen, you roll your ankle, it kind of happens.
Exactly. Occupational hazard. Actually, it's not. But the fact that you decided you wanted to go out there makes it an occupational hazard.
Exactly.
You think they can get workers' comp for that?
If they can try to find a way, I'm sure they will. I know Bart. And I know Bart
listen,
will.
I know Keyshawn will, too. Because he was the guy in our locker room, one of the union reps. He made for damn sure that the young guys knew, hey, you get an injury, make sure you file your workers' comp. That was Keyshawn Johnson. Oh, my gosh.
Well, earlier today, Nats GM Mike Rizzo came out and made the announcement that we are not trading Juan Soto. And I thought what was particularly interesting about that is before this season, Soto turned down over $300 million in a long-term contract extension with the Nats.
Yeah, 13 years, $350 million, Carlin. Turned it down before the lockout. Turned it down.
Yeah, and did so.
Not interested.
Without even blinking. Now, of course, we know that his agent is Scott Boras, and we know that getting to free agency is always the most important thing to Scott Boras. But having said that, I do look at this from a situation where if you're the Nats, you've got two more years of him and you're still trying to at least massage it in a way that you can maybe cut a long-term deal. Okay, you're giving yourself a little bit more time here. But I don't think, given the history of Scott Boras, that there is any reason whatsoever to think you're going to change his mind about going to free agency.
Well, here's the X factor, Carlin, and this is why I think Mike Rizzo is talking a little bit out of school with this one. We don't know who the ownership is going to be for the Washington Nationals once we get to 2024 when Soto is going to be a free agent. because the Lerner family, who've owned the Washington Nationals since 2006, have hired a search firm to find investors to buy part or all of the Washington Nationals. And so I have a hard time believing that the Lerner family is going to sign off on a mega deal for Juan Soto in the short term. I don't know that that's going to happen.
See, that's interesting, though. Is it you want to keep Juan Soto because of the asset and the kind of player that he is and the value that he brings, or is it you want to get Juan Soto off the books so the books look a little bit better?
Yeah, have we not learned anything from the Giancarlo Stanton deal down with the Miami Marlins and how that looked and how that became a depreciating contract, an asset for that team? Like they had to beg Brian Cashman and the Yankees to take that deal off of their hands. So I don't think this is a situation where that family would commit that dollar figure and strap the organization to Juan Soto for the foreseeable future. That's the next owner's decision to make. And if you're Juan Soto and Scott Boras, it would make a lot of sense to see who that next owner is, because you want to know that that person is going to surround you with the requisite talent that it takes to compete in the NL East and to try to compete for a title.
Now, the important part of this, from a New York standpoint, is both the Mets and Yankees. Now, the Yankees, I firmly believe, have it in their mind that if Aaron Judge walks after this year, that they are going to sign Juan Soto, which I would not take as a lock, considering how they have handled their finances over the last few years. And I know how much younger he is than Aaron Judge, and I know that he's a left-handed hitter. But I would not lock that up as if it's a full-on guarantee. When you look at what's happened over the last few years and the other teams that are spending the amount of money that they are.
No, I'm with you. I don't think it's a lock either. And Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman have done business differently. But we could be at a point by the time we get to a situation where the Nats would consider moving and where Brian Cashman has softened that position a little bit and is willing to open up the purse strings, similar to what we saw him do with Gerrit Cole a couple of years back and giving him a 9-year contract for $324 million. So I'm not going to rule it out completely, but as a Yankees fan, I'm not going to get my hopes up right now.
No, I don't think you could, but if you made the trade to get him and you were willing to do that for the start of next year, if you lost Aaron Judge this offseason and then you were trying to keep him long term, I don't even know that that would help all that much, because I don't think he's going to avoid going to free agency. I don't think I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Well, I mean, the Yankees always have the ability, as one of the most, lucrative teams in all of Major League Baseball, to give him a blank check.
But are they interested in doing it?
And pay him more. Well, here's the thing. If you're trading for him, you're going ahead and you're saying, we're going to sign this guy.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. But here's the thing that bothers me so much, Carlin. This is that Stanton trade coming back to haunt the Yankees.
Yep.
All day, every day. Because if you didn't have Stanton, you would sign Aaron Judge, and this wouldn't be a conversation at all. And as a Yankees fan, to have to let go of a homegrown talent who's having an MVP caliber season, it really, really sucks.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.